The Hague Reel 2.
In fact, you've no business to have any education on the lower deck in those days.
Was that the view?
Huh?
Was that the view?
Oh, yes. I mean, see, if you had any education, you was a sea lawyer. Got to be watched. See, we had the great case, I may say, 1912, when Winston Churchill was first Lord. This will just give you an example of the education. He gave all able seamen of 6 years standing and equivalent ratings. Mind you, only able seamen and equivalent ratings. Threepence a day, rise. Well, you take a ship of about 1,000 men. The number of people of AB or equivalent rating with 6 years timing was very limited. At the same time, all your price of your slops went up, you know, your clothing and all that lot, all went up, and your provisions off the puzzle. And consequence, I may say, everybody was paying about fivepence for those few blokes getting threepence. And, of course, I was on the St. Vincent, and when these blokes come along, who was going to get the threepence, he'd come along there, full of the Georgia Spring, and said, "Oh, blooming fine bloke. I said, "You blooming fool." I said, "What are you talking about?" Oh, he says, "Well," he said, "we got threepence." I said, "Yes, you." I said, "How many more in this ship?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Of course you don't." I said, "But for your threepence," I said, "you're going to pay fivepence back." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Look at the price of your slops." I said, "Look at the price of pasta provisions." I said, "Then wake up to the fact that for your threepence, I say everybody's paying fivepence." I said, "Don't forget," I says, "no leading hands or POs, and no ODs get this threepence." I said, "You've got to be an AB with 6 years standing." Of course, I mean, say, I didn't know one of the bloodhounds was there listening, and of course, straight away I was stirring up discontent. So the Joss man come along, he said to me, he said, "Here," he says, "what's this I hear about you kicking up a noise?" I said, "No," I said, "I didn't kick up a noise." I said, "So and so come along to me," I said, "and he was boasting about this threepence he was getting." He said, "Well, what of it?" I said, "I pointed out the fact that, if you read the slop list and the provision list," I said, "everybody's paying fivepence for his threepence." I said, "That includes you." Of course, I may say, things like that go back to the commander. They go, "Oh, you."
So when you say you went to the recruiting office then and you got your ticket, your test, education didn't matter so long as you were fit. That was the main thing. Were there other boys there along with you, apart from you who was being tested that day? Did they all pass the medical? Can you remember?
Oh, I can't remember. See, because some were going in the Marines and all that lot, and some were older, and consequence was going in as men. So you went in as a man if you was over 18.
Okay, when you went to join the Navy, you didn't think about the Army because you've already had some... Tell me about why you didn't think of the
Army. I mean, say, George Pullman was a captain in Territorials in the Fusiliers. And, of course, he wanted everybody in his firm to join that. And... according to his theory, I'd make an ideal drummer boy. And through that, I mean, say, that got my hackles up. I mean, say, when anybody suggested I'd do this and I'd do that, without asking me whether I'd like to, I mean, say, it somehow didn't go down very well. So and of course, you used to see the Army there playing about in Hyde Park and all that. I thought myself, when I heard them sergeants yapping, I thought,
And you thought the Navy wasn't like this?
Oh, see, you never had that idea of the Navy. I mean, see, it was a thing apart.
What idea did you have of the Navy? Well, what idea did you have?
Not much. Not much at all, because, I mean, so all you could see was see them come home on leave, and you think, so, well, what can they do? Here, I mean, it's a jolly Jack there, spend his money. And, you know, it seemed an impossible thing for them to be able to do anything at sea. I mean, see, there's the ocean there, and you're going along, what can you do? I found out.
And it was just the same as the army in some ways.
Yes, except for the fact that, of course, you had the army on your doorstep in London.
But the recruiting officer, anyway, they took you on that day, or they...
Yes, they said, all right, we'll send for you when we're ready for you to go.
But they also gave you a form to get signed, didn't they? They gave you a form to take back to get Father to sign it. Father refused to sign it, though.
Yes, he wasn't at all in love with any uniform at all. I mean, say, police or anyone else, he didn't like that.
And he wasn't keen that you should go to the Navy, then?
No, he wasn't keen that I should go anywhere. So I went along to my aunt. I said, she said, do you want to go? I said, yes. I said, seems all right. And she signed it.
She signed it for you, or against your father, or for...
No, as she was, obviously. You know, relative, or whatever it was, I forget now what the form... I suppose it did have relative also. Relative to an applicant or something like that. She put aunt, that was it, and all about it.
And what did she say when you told her father wouldn't sign it?
Well...
Did she feel that he was being a bit obstructive about this?
Well, I mean, say, of course, in those days, I mean, say, you had the two sides of the family. You had your mother's side and your father's. Hey, I mean, say, and there the line was.
And aunt was on your mother's
side? Yeah, definitely. It was her sister.
Did her side feel that father wasn't treating her as well as perhaps he should have been?
Well, they all did. I mean, say, you know, I mean, say, if there was anything wrong on one side, I mean, see, the other side certainly shouted loud. But when it was reversed, I mean, see, you got the opposite.
Was Father, were you close to Father? I mean, could you go and talk to him about the Navy? Were you able to discuss your future with him in that way?
Well, I did certainly ask him about it, and got that look of absolute horror.
Why did he not like uniforms? Was there a particular reason?
No, I don't think so. Except, of course, you had the police always around there, and I mean, so it was a bit brutal at that time.
And he didn't take kindly to policemen taking charge of you? Or...
No, he didn't. Anyone, I mean, say, in uniform, I mean, say, pain in the neck to him. Funny.
Was he active in any other way, shall we say, in politics, against... authority in any other way?
No. Actually, he was a strong conservative.
Well, anyway, you got the form signed, and you had to take this back by hand.
Yeah, I took it back to Whitehall and give it in, and then he said, all right, he said, we'll send for you when we've got a draft made up. Well, that to me didn't seem anything, I mean, see.
But you already were in the Navy now. You were actually in the Navy.
Oh, yes, of course... Oh, I suppose 3 weeks went by, my father told me. He said, I thought you'd join the Navy, because I told him. He said, so I have. He said, well, when are you going? I said, I don't know. He said, well, you better go down and see him. So I went down and saw this recruiting sergeant. I said, when am I going down, going away? He said, look, Sonny, he says, all the time you're waiting, he says, your time and pay is going on for pension. And of course, that to me seemed, oh, I thought we should get a pension. That's nice. I didn't know how long you had to do for it, anything like that.
And boy service doesn't count for a pension anyway. That's how the sergeants at the office would say. I mean, they would have that approach.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
Did they try and put you off at all? Anyone try and say, well...
No. Of course, they got so much, I think, for every recruit they got. And, of course, it was a good job for them, I may say. After all, instead of ploughing the ocean and all that lark, I may say, they was there in a quiet job. And if they could boost the recruitment up, well, they stayed there.
Eventually, though, you got a letter saying to report to...
Yes, report to Whitehall.
Whitehall.
And there was about 16 of us, I think. Went down in a batch from Whitehall down to Plymouth.
Boys just like yourself?
Oh, yes, yes, all boys. Have come all over the globe.
Well, you say they were just boys about the same standard, the same money, same income, background as yourself?
Oh, so yes, more or less. I mean, say, of course, I mean, so you don't know... I don't know now where they come from, but there were certainly no little Lord Fauntleroys.
How did you feel about leaving home that time?
Oh, all right. I mean, say, didn't trouble much about it. Because, I mean, say, home to me was only a place to sleep and have occasional meal.
Tell me about your first impressions of the Navy. You arrived at
Mutton Cove, Devonport, and a night boat met us because it was after dark. And we went straight aboard the Circe. And of course, all they had was a blooming portable blooming oil lamp thing. No, can lamp. Next on the gangway with this damn thing. And he said, "All right, follow me." Well, there were 16 of us. And of course, all ham-fisted, going up ladders, I mean, say, up the companionways, got on this blooming deck and, of course, didn't dream they got a blasted lead line swearing tray there. I stepped over, I thought as I was going down, and my name instead, I went in the hogwash. Wonder where the yellow was. Of course, it wasn't very wide, and you do two strokes right and touch one side, and you lead line, you go, "Where the hell am I?" Over the other. Of course, I bellowed out, "Hey, what's up?" And when they come over, they said, "Oh, can you swim?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Swim up to here." Of course, there was a set of steps, and out I got. Of course, and then they fitted me up with a temporary sailor's rig, and we cup of cocoa, and or mug a basin of cocoa, and turned in.
What did they say to you when he got you out? Did he have any comment to make?
Very caustic. I said, "Yeah." I said, "Where do you come from?" I said, "London." He said, "I don't think so. People like you," he said, "fall over your own blooming bootlaces."
This was at Devonport, of course, and yeah. You were a Londoner. Did that make a difference coming?
Well, I mean, it did to them because it didn't matter where you come from. If you come from Birmingham, I mean, they've been just the same. And you never knew where they come from, I mean, say, unless you could recognise accents.
Anyway, you got out and you got into... They gave you dry clothes. Yeah. And you didn't get a meal that night. You got a basin of cocoa and...
And a biscuit or something. I forget what it was now. Cup or not, was this blooming raw cocoa. Pussas cocoa.
That is quite distinctive stuff.
Oh, yes. Oh, very distinctive. I mean, so it comes in great bars, like, and you had to scrape it and boil it.
Anyway, how did you feel that night when you turned in eventually?
Pretty peculiar, because, I mean, say, coming off like in the dark in a boat, wondering where you was, I mean, say, and then this damn wooden wall ship with a bathing tray in the middle of it. Couldn't understand it. I thought myself, well, I'm blown. Funny Navy. Of course, when I looked round, in the morning, I looked round this thing, Circe. I thought myself, well, how the hell does this go to sea? Of course, then I looked across and seen the impregnable, the old wooden wall. I thought myself, well, Lord, that was so funny. Are we going to start in them? I thought she was seagoing like them. I thought myself, what a fine thing that is.
How long were you in the Circe then? You weren't...
No, not long, only till you were kitted and classed up.
Yeah.
And then you went over the impreg.
And on the first day, the doctor saw you again, I think. And
yes, you see the doctor and all that. Like, vaccinated, always vaccinated, I may say. You got that regular as clockwork.
And you were issued with a rig out, which was a very rough and ready.
Actually, you had like a Germanat. Not like the modern sailor's hat, it was a Germanat, like just crossed between a Berry and a Johnny Onion boy's hat. And that was your hat, anyhow.